Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all of these radio program and MP3 files. We have Bible videos out there on a number of topics that are 30 minutes in length that you can download, and a host of other Bible-related material that you can have for your study. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We only want one thing from you. Come with an open mind, open Bible, and examine the Word of God with us. We want to show you a need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son who died for your sins, Jesus Christ. We have been studying the book of Peter, and we now are in 2 Peter chapter 3, and we are looking at verse 3 through 7. Last week, we concluded in looking at verse number 4 by showing that there were scoffers who deny that He was coming again because everything continued as it was before, since the days of creation. But as we begin today, I want to show you that they were wrong about that, and they have failed to understand some things. I want to begin by reading verse 5 through 7, and then we want to explain. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Now, in verse 5 through 7, Peter meets those arguments that everything continues as from the beginning of creation. He meets them head on by reviewing some ancient history that they are willfully forgetting. Just as water, by God's command, played a significant role in the early formation of the earth, so water also was the agent for destruction of the earth at God's command earlier also. The heavens of old referred to the expanse or the sky created on the second day of creation. Read Genesis chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. And the earth was formed out of water, and in the water refers to the land appearing from the water on the third day of creation. We read this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. God is the creator, is also God the judge. In His sovereign will, any change in process can occur at any time that He so designs and controls these natural processes and natural law, since He is the one that created them. He created them, He established them, He can overturn them, or He can intervene with them if He so determines to do so. Now, it's interesting, the scoffers will fully forget. They forget about the creation, but they also forget about the flood. It's an interesting contrast with Peter's constant reminder to his readers to remember. Remember, we talked earlier this month that he was reminding them that they needed to remember the things that they had learned earlier and read from the Old Testament. And it's interesting that there were some things that they should remember, but they have willfully forgot. The scoffers deliberately put aside God's word and then complained that God was not doing anything, that He created and then He did nothing from that time on. And again, they willfully forget. Interesting, Peter was both a creationist and a believer in the universal flood. His references to the flood are in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, that we studied earlier, and also in the next chapter of 2 Peter, in verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 5. At the beginning of verse 6, the words "by which" are literally "through which." This refers back to God's word at the end of verse number 5. Or it may refer to both the water and the word, but it's concerned in the context of the verse. Both God's use of water in both creation and destruction seems to lend credence to the rendering here. The world, the cosmos, refers to the inhabitants, doesn't refer to the planet, since the Earth itself was not destroyed or terminated in the flood. God so loved the world in John 3:16. He's not talking about the planet. God wasn't the first tree hugger. He's talking about the people who make up the planet, the inhabitants, the ones he died for. He didn't die for the trees and the streams and the oceans. He died for men. He died for mankind. It means the global habitations of the earth. And this is true in many passages of the Bible, especially in a lot of John's writings that we can read in John chapter 1, verse 9, chapter 3, verse 17, and verse 19, also chapter 4, verse 42, and chapter 6, verse 33, just to give you some reference that this terminology has been used for a long time. But notice in verse 6, he says, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Now, again, they forget about the flood. The flood covered the highest mountain, and it covered the earth for 375 days. And it destroyed every living thing that was on earth. And all of it was done, except 8 souls were saved in the ark. Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their 3 wives. And everyone else was destroyed by the flood. So this thought that all things continue as they were from the beginning is untrue. Things have changed from the beginning of creation because of the flood. In verses 7, 10, and 12 are the only places where the New Testament depicts the future destruction of the world by fire. In the past, the world was destroyed in the flood by God's word and by water. In the future, it will be destroyed by the same word and by fire. Having decided to judge the world, God is simply holding the earth on layaway. It is reserved for judgment, being stored up like a treasure for fire, or guarded or held until final judgment takes place. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15 and 16, and Malachi 4, verse 1, associates fire with the return of the Lord. The references to it also are found in the Qumran literature, that means the Dead Sea Scrolls, as well as other sources shortly before and after the birth of Christ. The day of the Lord is the judgment day and the destruction of the present heaven and earth. All men will be judged, and the ungodly men will be thrown into the lake of fire. Just so you don't think that's my opinion, I want to read you from the Revelation letter, chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, which is the second glimpse of the judgment scene that were given in the scripture. The first glimpse is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. It says, then I saw a great white throne, and to him who sat on it, from whom the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no more place found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things written in that were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so, all men are going to stand and give an account of themselves to God. We read that also in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. This is, as Peter wrote, will be their day of judgment and destruction. The heaven and earth will be destroyed by fire. God intervened to cause this catastrophe before in the flood, and he will do so again in the end when he destroys the earth. Now, we're going to talk about that next week, because there's a lot of misconception about the remaining verses here and what the Lord, or what the Apostle Peter says concerning the destruction. But here's the point I want us to think about this morning. These scoffers have said, because everything continued as it was from the beginning, That means that the Lord is really not coming back. But Peter has demonstrated and shown by the scripture that things have not continued as they were from the beginning. That there was an interlude when God destroyed the earth as it was then known and killed every living thing on earth except the eight souls that were in the ark. Everything else that drew the breath of life, every human being, every animal that was outside the ark died except those that were taken into the ark. Now understand that God did that out of rendering a judgment. He judged man from being evil. In Genesis 6 verse 4, the Bible says that he looked at man and his heart was evil continually. Because of his evil conduct, because of his evil heart, God destroyed the world as it stood then by water and destroyed the human race except the eight souls that were on the ark. Now, he did not destroy the earth, but the earth changed after that. The topography of the earth changed, and time changed. We don't read men living 700, 800, 900 years anymore after the flood. And so the things changed somewhat. And so God did not destroy the earth, but he destroyed the human race. He destroyed mankind. And he did that because they had committed sin, and it was punishment that God brought on them. If you go and read the biblical account of Noah preparing the ark, you know that it took him 120 years. That during that time, according to other writings of Peter, that Noah preached and tried to bring the people in the world at that time to repent before destruction came. Sadly, they were scoffers in those days, just like there were in the days that we're reading about in the first century. Scoffers. Here's Noah building this large structure, and it's going to rain, something they had not experienced before. And here he is with the sun building this thing, and I can just imagine people laughing and making fun of him and scoffing at him. But as soon as he went into the ark and God shut the door and it began to rain, I believe that there were no longer any scoffers. And I'm sure that many tried to get into the ark, and now they were believers, but it was too late. And that's going to be the same at the second coming of Christ. There are going to be those then that will finally believe, that will finally accept the fact that God's existence is real, and that the Son is a real, viable person, and that he came just like he said he would come. But I want you to notice something that's very important. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says that we will meet him in the air. There is not a passage in the Bible that ever states that Jesus will step foot on the earth again. This does a lot of damage and ruins the credibility of the premillennialist who teaches that there's going to be a thousand reign on earth. Also, the period of this being the last days also casts doubt upon their conclusion because we are living in the last days. If there is another dispensation, this would not be the last days. And so those facts alone would cause us to pause and think that their conclusions are wrong. Understand, the scoffers, they deny that things are going to happen because they continued as the past. Peter has shown that is false, and they were wrong about that, and they're also wrong about his second coming. Thank you.